In the name of God who is ever transforming us. Amen.
Amen.
What do you want me to do for you? It's an interesting question from Jesus. He's asking the blind man, what can I do for you? If you've been in any of my Bible studies or really listening to my sermons, I guess you know that I really like to think about the historical context of what's happening in the gospel. But today, I can't help but hear that question from our context. In this consumeristic culture where we want to know what everyone else can do for us in our job, our friends, our doctors, our grocery store, our Amazon Prime, even our church. And that's a little ironic, too, because I'm told that by the year 2022, our self-help industry will be making $12.2 million a year. It's as though our society, we can't decide if we want others to do for us or if we want to conquer our problems all by ourselves. And it seems like a dichotomy. But I think it has to do with this search for happiness or wholeness. Happiness is now marketed as an object to be purchased. If you'll just read this book, or take this pill, or do this workout plan, or follow this to-do list, or go to this church, or take this class, all will be well. And I have to tell you, I buy into it sometimes myself. A year or so ago, I was listening to this guru. I love a guru, and he was a workout guru, a health guru, and he had this concept of weight loss that revolved around vision, the visions that we have of ourselves. And his theory is that most people don't lose weight and keep it off because they're stuck in an old vision of themselves. So even though they may lose a little weight, once they stop exercising, once they stop counting calories or counting points, they revert back to the vision of themselves before the diet, and they gain the weight back. His theory was that for transformation to really occur, the visions that we have of ourselves must change. And this has stuck with me. And for the last few weeks that we have heard of Jesus' walk toward Jerusalem, he keeps telling the disciples that Jerusalem is going to be this place of betrayal and crucifixion, and death and burial and resurrection, and that they don't get it. But this is the last stop. This is the last stop before the grand entrance on Palm Sunday. And last week we heard how James and John, they asked Jesus for a favor. And Jesus said, well, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, well, make us great. Hey, put one of us on your left and one of us on your right in glory. And Jesus said, no, see, you're not understanding. You have to be a servant to be first of all. And they're perplexed. They don't get Jesus' prediction of death, but this small, loyal group of folk have been traveling with him all the way. So they continue on with him to the cross. And when they get to Jericho, the crowd's excitement is palpable. Jericho was about 16 miles from Jerusalem. And the road between Jericho and Jerusalem was generally considered dangerous. Even today, it's a barren road. But this was the time of the Passover, and the law required that Jewish men within 15 miles of Jerusalem had to make a pilgrimage to the temple for Passover. So this was prime season for those who lived at the margins of society to be able to beg for alms, for money. And they would line the edge of that road in order to catch the attention of pilgrims as they walked along. And it's from the edge of this road that Bartimaeus cries out. Now, Jesus, he must have been protected from the edge, from these beggars. He must have been insulated by his traveling companions because he doesn't hear Bartimaeus. It's this community around him that first hears Bartimaeus cry, and they tell him, be quiet. But Bartimaeus just cries even louder. And when Jesus hears him, he says, bring him to me. And Jesus doesn't rebuke those traveling with him. He just brings attention to Bartimaeus. And in bringing attention to Bartimaeus, the followers of Jesus begin to transform. You can hear it. Instead of shushing him again, they say, take heart. Get up. He's calling you. And Jesus asked Bartimaeus the exact same question he asked James and John. The same perplexing question. What do you want me to do for you? And unlike James and John, Bartimaeus doesn't want to be great. He just wants to be whole. In all the other miracles and healings in the Gospel of Mark, those who are healed head off on their own. In fact, Jesus usually says, don't tell anyone. I find this perplexing. I mean, how are they going to keep that they can now see or that they're no longer paralyzed from people? But Bartimaeus is different. Bartimaeus throws off his cloak and he leaves everything right there and he follows Jesus. He's given this renewed vision of life. It's a transformation. It's more than he asked for. He may have thought, well, I just want my sight so I can have a better life right here in Jericho, but Jesus upends everything. And in doing so, this insular community traveling with Jesus is also changed. With the joining of Bartimaeus traveling with them, they have to revision their understanding of community, of who it is that walks with them on the way. And this happens in life, right? When individuals join a new group or when one in the group makes this change, then the group always has to decide, are we going to remain insular and leave them out, or are we going to change too? That's a natural thing that happens when we live in relationship with each other. Our family units change. When children come along, when children get older and they move out or they get married and they bring spouses into the family unit. Our friends groups change as people get married and they have children and or they move or new people move into town. And that change often surprises us. Like when your friend group has always been all the single ladies, and you wake up one day and it's all the married women and the single lady. We're constantly learning how to have new ways to be in relationship. And sometimes that takes a revisioning. The story of Bartimaeus warns us that when we have one vision of who we are, we begin to live into that vision. And when one singular vision drives our decision-making, then we fall into familiar patterns, and they're patterns that are really hard to break. And as much as the self-help industry might tell us, it's only something larger than ourselves that can really change us. It's only something larger than ourselves which gives us new vision. It's only something larger than ourselves which makes us whole. What do you want me to do for you is probably one of the most radical questions that Jesus asks us. It's an invitation to a life of change and renewal and transformation. It's an invitation to wholeness. And if we dare to respond, we must be prepared to be shown that which we haven't seen before, as individuals and as community. Just as Bartimaeus and those disciples did all those years ago. And if we want to grow spiritually, if we are truly seeking wholeness, we have to be open to allowing God to periodically revision us, to periodically revise us. We have to discover that which we haven't seen before. And the good news is that Jesus never stops asking us, individually or communally, what do you want me to do for you? Amen.